Yesterday, you were started off with a sugya that seemed to only relate to Tashbisu in terms of Havar Lav Yotzos. And then we realized that we're really learning a fundamental Yontif sugya in terms of the very relationship between Shabbos and the Isur Yontif. So, of course, we know that the Malachas of Shabbos carry over to the Yontif, with a couple of exceptions. Whether the other Isurei Shabbos carry over is highly controversial. So we saw already in our sugya today in Tosfos, if you hold it Havar Lav Yotzos, if it's not really halacha, does it carry over? What's the status of Shvisas Behema? Does that carry over Mechama, those kinds of Isurim? And then at the very end, we start to discuss a sugya, a very famous sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Where the Gemara quotes one opinion that min haTorah you don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Zichron Truah teaches us there's no tkiyah shofar on Shabbos. Now, truth to be told, in the Bavli we reject that opinion, but the Rishami does accept that opinion. Rishami actually paskas like that opinion. But min haTorah there's something wrong with blowing shofar on Shabbos. So that's the case that there's something wrong with blowing shofar on Shabbos that should carry over to Yom Tov as well, with the obvious exception of Rosh Hashanah. But if any other Yom Tov that you would for some reason decide to blow a shofar, that should be an issur. That should be a violation of the Zichron Truah, which comes to teach us, give shofars off limits on Shabbos and by extension to Yom Tov. So that was the kasha of the Shnegis Aryeh. There comes one of the Acharonim in the back of the Gemara, the Mitzvah Esan, in the Acharonim, printed in the back of the Gemara, and suggests that the answer to this kasha is based on our sugya. The Mishnah in Chulin talks about blowing shofar on Yom Tov. When you have a Yom Tov that falls out on a Friday, they did blow shofar to remind people that Shabbos was about to start. So what happened to the Yisra Deraisa, Zichron Truah? So says the Mitzvah son, the Yisra Deraisa was set on Shabbos. The Yisra Deraisa wasn't set on Yom Tov. Whoever heard of a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, says the Mitzvah son, I am Sacham, that's Yom Beis, I am Beis Yosef, I am Rashin Tais Bat Chumit. All the different sugars that we spoke about, all the examples of Isurei Shabbos that don't necessarily spill over to Yom Tov, add this to the list. That this Isur, if they are supposed to kiss Shofar and Shabbos, it's not Malacha. Nobody says you have skila for blowing Shofar and Shabbos. This Isur Deraisa that we happen not to accept. But according to the view of the Rishabbos, this Isur Deraisa is also on Shabbos, but it's Shalom B'Tarash Malacha. If it's possible just to mute, there's a lot of background noise. Whatever this issur deraisa is, it's not b'taras malacha, and an issur shlo b'taras malacha by definition doesn't carry on, doesn't spill over to the other field. That was a bit Eson's contribution to the sugya. Now, the truth to be told is that this kasha from the Maseches Rosh Hashanah probably has several other terutzim as well. It's not 100% clear, even in the Gemara and Rashad, even with the opinion that says that you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, that there's an issur to blow shofar on Shabbos. Is that what it means? That's also to blow shofar? Or does it mean you're potter from blowing shofar? When the Torah says zikr and true, and it teaches me that you say psukim, but you don't blow shofar on Shabbos, according to that opinion, it's not at all clear that the Gemara is even talking about a prohibition to blow shofar. It could just mean a tour for blowing shofar. Just because the Torah patters us from a mitzvah doesn't mean it's also to do that mitzvah. It's like L'moshel Bon Davidomer, tefillin on Shabbos. So the Torah says, "Kshat we also yadecha," so you're not mechuv to put on tefillin on Shabbos. There's a big machlekes. I wonder, like, why did I do it? So is that an avera? Os is an iser. Os is telling me that if you put on tefillin on Shabbos, that's a problem. Well, it's not a problem. It's worthless. Again, it's like putting on tefillin on parshas. It's a waste of time. Don't bother wasting your time. It's not a mitzvah. So it's also not clear here. The Gedolei Acharonim, the Shnegis Aryeh, and the Tveis, and all the Acharonim were dealing with this question. We're working with the assumption that licked in the pasuk of Zichron Truah is an iser of tkiyah shofar and Shabbos, and therefore they had to figure out why it should not carry over to you. So getting back to our story, we still have this running question about the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and we've seen it in terms of our sugya of our Lav Yotzos. We saw it in terms of Shvitzas Behema and Mechamer. We saw it in terms of possible Tchumen. We saw it in terms of the possible Issur Tkiyah Shofar and Shabbos. But the common denominator between everything that we've been talking about has been vis-a-vis Isurim. So the Isurei Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov. But Lechora, we can extend this discussion and put it into a little bit more of a positive spin, so to speak. Forget about the Isurei Shabbos, Shlo B'Taras Malacha. What about the mitzvahs of Shabbos? What if the Torah gives us a specific mitzvah essay on Shabbos? Does that automatically carry over to Yom Tov? What's our take on that? So says the Minchas Chinuch, he thinks it's the same shalom, says the Minchas Chinuch that whatever you think about this global question of Avar L'Lav Yotzes and Yom Tov and Shvisas Behema and Tchumen and Shom, whatever you think that equation, or lack thereof, between Shabbos and Yom Tov is, that's the exact same question vis-a-vis mitzvah's essay. So if I identify a mitzvah's essay on Shabbos, Torah says, do this mitzvah on Saturday. The Saturday means Saturday. The Saturday meaning Yom Shvisa, Yom Shabbos, which would carry over to Yom Tov as well. What's the nafkamina min haTorah? Which mitzvah, which plant of mitzvah of Shabbos am I referring to? So I'm referring to the mitzvah of Kiddush. So we take a look at the eighth of the Bar Mikvos. So the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perchot Tes Lach Yud Ches, the Rambam writes, Kishem shemekanshim b'leili Shabbos, u'mavdilim b'motzoi Shabbos, kach mekanshim b'leili yom tovim, u'mavdilim b'motzoi yom kippurim. So the Rambam introduces the mitzvah of Kiddush and Avdallah on Yom Tov, and begins with the words, Kishem shemekanshim, just as you recite Kiddush on Friday night, just as you recite Avdallah on Motzoi Shabbos, so too you recite Kiddush on Yom Tov night, and you recite Avdallah on Motzoi Yom Tov as well. So Kishem. So the word Kishem is always a very, very loaded term. Kishem almost sounds like not only is what I'm about to say true, but it's true because of the similarity to what I just said before. So if the Rambam just wanted to tell us that, oh, by the way, you should just know you have to Kiddush on Yom Tov, you should have said Mitzvah L'Kaddish B'Leil Yom Tov. So the Rambam opens up by saying Kishem. Kishem shenuchas tamid. The same way we were zeicher to do this, we want to be zeicher to do that. So kishem that we make kiddush on Friday night. That's the same reason. That's the same rationale for making kiddush on Yom Tov night. And then the Rambam goes one step further, and the Rambam almost challenges himself to say, "And how do I know this is true?" And again, the Rambam knew it was true because the Mishnah says it. We know you make kiddush on Yom Tov. We know you make Avdallah B'Tzoi. That was not. I don't need the Rambam to tell me that. But the Rambam is almost like going back to Chazal and saying, and how did Chazal figure that out? Like, Vishtay, that you have to make Kiddush. We know the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos is a mitzvah in the Torah. That's an explicit Gemara in Brachas of Chaf of Abayz. It's a sukkim Psoch of Kuvav. There's a mitzvah there, I said, to make Kiddush. It's subsumed under the mitzvah of Zochash of Shabbos to Kacha. So the Rambam is almost troubled and saying, wait a second. Zochash of Shabbos to Kacha translated literally means, remember, Saturday. Remember the seventh day of the Sabbath. Where did Yom Tov come from? How does Yom Tov fit into the picture? So the Rambam now explains it in four words how Chazal made the jump. Shekulam Shabzos Hashem Hein. Says the Rambam, the reason why we're making Kiddush on Yom Tov night is because Yom Tov is also a Shabbos. Shekulam Shabzos Hashem Hein. After all, what does the word Shabbos really mean? The word Shabbos means lishbos, to refrain from halacha, which is exactly what you do on Yom Tov as well. Now, it's true quantitatively, you have a handful of malachas that don't apply on Yom Tov. You got havaras, and you got hotzahs, you got shchitas, bishlak, okay? You got a little bit of a new, but vis-a-vis rubu the malachas, it's a day of shmisa. The Torah itself says, b'yom ha-rishon shabbosom, b'yom ha-shmini shabbosom. The Torah says, b'machas ha-shabbos, in the Feder HaKoyin, it refers to Yom Tov. So the Torah itself uses the term Shabbos and Yom Tov feeling interchangeably. So it comes around and says, mistava, that's how Chazal figured this out, that but the fact that kulam nikru shabbos Hashem heim, that must be a raya that you have to make kiddush on Yom Tov night as well. Now, if you put together the beginning of the Rambam and the end of the Rambam, it seems pretty clear that the Rambam's view is that making kiddush on Yom Tov night is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rambam opened up with the words kishem and he concludes with shabbos Hashem, which is taitch in a pasuk in Chumash. He's explaining how Chazal knew that you have to make kiddush on Yom Tov because it's called the Shabbos. Clearly, the Rambam is referencing that pasuk in the Seiras Adibris, Zochas Yom Shabbos Nakachel, and giving an all-encompassing, all-expansive definition of the word Shabbos. So it seems pretty clear from the Rambam that the mitzvah of making Kiddush and Yom Tov is a real bona fide mitzvah in HaTorah. It's somewhat startling because the Magid Mishnah on the Rambam, if you take a look at the Magid Mishnah, it's the second part of the Magid Mishnah Me'atzmo, just on its own, makes the following observation. Doesn't tell you why he made the observation, doesn't acknowledge the fact that he seems to be contradicting what the Rambam implied. And the Magid Mishnah was a Risha in the Magid Mishnah, but he wrote primarily the Perush of the Rambam. His primary goal was to explain how did the Rambam get where he got to. Is the Rambam against this? And how does the Rambam fit with the other Rishonim, etc.? So he was, I mean, every once in a while he tells what his own opinions are, but he was first and foremost a Mefarish in the Rambam. Here the Magid Mishnah just makes a comment without explaining to why he even said it, You should just know, just in case you're wondering, says the Magen Mishnah, that making Kiddush on Yom Tov is not a deraisa. Can't be a deraisa. Impossible. Can't be a deraisa. Why can't it be a deraisa? So it seems obvious. The Magen Mishnah said, well, it can't be deraisa because it doesn't say in the Chumash. Torah doesn't say Zocher es Pesach lekachil. Zocher es Shavuos. Shavuos es Shal lekachil. It says Zocher es Yom Shabbos. And Shabbos means Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't mean Yom Tov. So the Magen Mishnah is definitely entitled to his opinion as a Rishon, but again, it doesn't seem to be in sync with what the Ram himself sounded like. So it's a very strange formulation to say. It's a machlekes to Rav and the Magen Mishnah. We don't usually use those terms, but that's what's happening. It's a machlekes to Rav and the Magen Mishnah. What are we going to do? The Ram for sure sounds one way, and the Magen Mishnah says explicitly the other way. It reminds me, I've told all the story in the past where I was, when I came to California for the first Shabbos, I was dating my wife already for some time, but I hadn't really met her, most of my family yet. So we weren't quite engaged. So they put me out for a Shabbos. So somehow I got talked into giving a shiur in someone's house the Shabbos afternoon. I was giving a shiur, and there happened to have been a visiting Rosh Hashiva from Bnei Brak, from Slobodka Yeshiva Bnei Brak, was visiting at the time. And my lucky, he understood English well enough to understand the shiur. So he was sitting in the back of the room when I was saying the shiur, and I quoted a machlekes between the Tosfos Rid and the Ketzos about something about Shabbat Mitzvah Shema Gufo. So I referenced it a few times. Machlekes Tosfos Rid and Ketzos. He got very, very upset. And he started interrupting. He says, "What do you mean, machlekes? Tosfos Rid is our Rishon. Ketzos is Achron. You mean machlekes? It's not machlekes. Ketzos and Tosfos Rid." You know, he was a man is in his 70s. I was in my 20s, and I was having a good impression of my father-in-law to be. And it was a very, very, I'm sure you can, you know, it was a very, very uncomfortable position. So I tried like the Fumfka to say something like, well, the Tosfos Rid does say something. And the Ketzos says, I don't agree with what he says. I'm saying something else. But, you know, I know you're sensitive to say this, Machlekes Rishon, but I'm not sure what else to call it. He's a Rishon, he's an Achron. It's true, but Lamaisa, they're arguing. So why can't I call that a Machlekes? And he gave all tits to that. So I got a call the next day from someone in Eretz Yisrael. They had already heard that I made a whole tumble about the Machlekes Tosfos Rid and the Ketzos in front of the Rishon of Slobodka. They got all
Could it be that the Magen Mishnah tries to explain the Rambam, but he feels that Rambam's not
necessary? Yeah, it could be that the Magen Mishnah is unraveling all Adiyukim, right? It could be. It's possible. Right. It could be the Magen Mishnah didn't even think that he was arguing with Rambam. Yeah, it's very possible. The Magen Mishnah doesn't make mention. It doesn't even address this Rambam. But again, the simple reading of the Rambam doesn't sound like it. So the Achal Parim Nechas Chinuch says that this, whatever you want to call it, Machlokes, depends ultimately on our Shaila. It really depends on this question of how much the Shabbos carry over to Yom Tov. So the Melachos carry over. Do the Isurim carry over? Unclear. Do the Mitzvahs carry over? Also unclear. This question, whether Kiddush and Yom Tov is a deraisa, derabanan, is not necessarily just an academic machlokes. It may be an important machlokes, lehalacha, lemaisa, and the following. That we know the famous Gemara in Brachas, the Chav, tells us that women are chayavas Kiddush on Friday night because Shavu v'zocha b'dibarach nemru, because since women are obligated in the Yisur b'locha, so the Meila carries over the mitzvah of Kiddush. Well, Kiddush is a Zman Grama. It's one of those, a few exceptions to the rules of Zman Grama. So the Mishnah of Machlokes about what if you have a mitzvah that's not a mitzvah deraisa, but it was instituted like ain the deraisa. Let's say the Mashal Kiddush in the daytime. So Kiddush on Shabbos day is not a deraisa, that's for sure. If it would be a deraisa, it would be more than just Bar Piyagaf and all the psukim that we say only be Teres Minut. So Kiddush in the daytime is for sure only a mitzvah derabanan. So as a machlekes, we show him a woman obligated in that mitzvah. So some Mishnayim say that women are pterus from Kiddush in the daytime. Why? Because it's a Zman Grama. If you don't make Kiddush in the daytime on Shabbos day, you can't make it on Tuesday afternoon. So it's a mitzvah. So say she has Zman Grama. Mitzvah derabanan, she has Zman Grama. It's also called Zman Grama. And how can you invoke Shomer v'zocha b'di b'recha nemru to b'chayev them? Zocher doesn't refer to Kiddush in the day. It only refers to Kiddush on Friday night. So some Yisharim Tekla say, there's an opinion of the Maram Chalav, or the Gedolah Yisharim Masechas Pesachim, and every Pesachim that says, women have Turos from Kiddush and, in the daytime. And other Yisharim, we've seen the Paschal Halacha disagree, say no, that even though it's true, Kiddush in the daytime is only with the Rabbanon, Chazal Mesakir, it Ke'ein Kiddush Deraisa. So even though you're right, it's really a Zman Grama, and you're right, it's not really covered by Shabbat Zocher literally, But once Chazal instituted it to be part of the extension of Kiddush Deraisa, so that's also subsumed with the Rabbanan under the heading, quote unquote, Shama Zach with the Bichnau. Remember, that's what we usually assume. That's what we tell most women, that we like the women to hear Kiddush on Shabbos. It's Pesach Shabbos morning, so we finished up usually this, because of the scheduling of all the minyanim. So one of the only good things that came out of all the chaos is that I never have to worry about chatzos on Shabbos morning, because my minyan finishes at 9:30. So I'm done with Shabbos at 9:30. I didn't say my wife has agreed yet to eat at 9:30, but it's much easier to convince her to eat at 11:30 if when davening doesn't end at 11:25. So we've been, for the Reuven, the Shabbos has been pretty good. So this Pesach Shabbos, so there was a bar mitzvah, not in the shul, but one of the private tent, whatever it was. So I had to go after davening. So I had a maneuver. So I said to my wife afterwards, said, "This was the first Shabbos in a long time that it almost felt like a little bit like a regular Shabbos schedule, because I had to go run from one place to another. It means I didn't usually davening's over. I sit down 9:30. I'm done till minchah and budge. So I had to move around a little bit." So by the time we got back, it was ready pushing a quarter 12. It was ready after 12. We saw, plenty of time. So my daughters, well, my older daughter had come for Shabbos. Both my daughters were outside talking to somebody. My daughter would come for Shabbos. She hasn't seen anybody, anyone in Tidek in a year. So she was trying to catch up a little bit. So my two daughters were outside talking. It was a quarter 12. It was 10 to 12. It was 5 to 12. And I was told that they had both made Kiddush earlier. They'd make Kiddush, so they weren't in such a big rush. So at which point I announced that in our home, this Shabbos, we pass like the Baruch Halava. I said, the women of Torah are some Kiddush. If they can't come on time, then they're not going to get Kiddush. So I don't know if everyone appreciated that Pesach, but Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well. We got them in the nick of time. So back to the story. So this Shaila, whether Kiddush and Yontif is a deraisa or not, maybe related to that, Maram Chalav and others. If you hold that Kiddush and Yontif is deraisa, then for sure women chayavos. It's a no-brainer. It's the same as Kiddush and Shabbos. But if you hold that Kiddush and Yontif is only a derabbanon, according to that Maram Chalava, that the derabbanons aren't covered by Shomer Zohar, so to speak, so then you can make a case that women don't have to Kiddush and Yontif. Not such a crazy case. So we can make a pass. No, Kivega said women don't have to Kiddush and Yontif. But I mean, it's not that way. Rabbi Feinstein paskin that Kiddush on Yontif, women are obligated in the chiluch whatsoever. That's what the minhag Yisrael seems to be, that the women do like to hear Kiddush, do insist on hearing Kiddush. I think I've told them the story in the past, but it highlights this shaila really halach lemaisa. If you hold that women are pturos from Kiddush and Yontif, then a man can't make Kiddush for a woman unless he's been yotzei the Kiddush. Let's say if I already make Kiddush for her and I finish my Suda and I want to go next door and make Kiddush for a woman who didn't need a Kiddush, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But if it's Kiddush on Yontif, that's a much more complicated question. Because if Rabbi Kivega is right, if the Magen Mishnah is right, if women may be exempt possibly from Kiddush on Yontif, so then I can't make a bracha for somebody if they're exempt. They want to volunteer themselves because they... I can't make a bracha for somebody if they themselves are exempt, unless they're being yotzei now. So this came up in my own house. I was married years ago, when my grandmother, Hashem, was still alive. So on Sukkot, it was, I think Ari remembers that, building, we used to have a sukkah. Our sukkah was downstairs in the parking lot, in the back of the back, third down to one of the Bennett's Avenue. So we used to have a communal sukkah there. We lived four flights up, so it wasn't always so easy for my grandmother to come down. So she wasn't up to it, so she would just, she would eat the meal sometimes upstairs. So the problem was, sometimes it was an Irish, I think a Kiddush. So my father, Shlomo, would make Kiddush down in the sukkah, and he would belt out the Kiddush loud and clear, and she'd be standing by the window and listening to the Kiddush. So we realized that my grandmother didn't hear so well when you stood next to us, that not a chance she was in the Kiddush four flights up. So I volunteered. I said, listen, I said, I'll make Kiddush for her before we go down. I won't drink the wine. I won't drink it. It's out of the sukkah, so I can't make Kiddush Babu Suda. But I'll be Maltiyar in Kiddush. Then we'll go downstairs. Then we'll have Kiddush. So we did that for a couple of sukkah nights. That was the protocol. So I'd make Kiddush for her, and she would sit down and have a meal, and then show myself. Then years later, I saw this with the Kedager. The Paskins, that women of tourists from Kiddush and Yontif. Every time you make Kiddush for someone who's exempt from Kiddush, so I didn't feel too bad because soon after that, I found Rav Moshe that says we don't follow Rav Kvig. We pass it like the Rambam, we pass it that women are chayavs in Kiddush, Felishim Safik, women are chayavs in Kiddush and Yantif. That's the Minhag Yisrael. Women, of course, make sure to get Kiddush and Yantif, and therefore we don't have to be too concerned the halacha about this. But this whole discussion with Rav Kvig and Rav Moshe and Rav Mishnah, that, according to Bichas Chinuch, it's all an extension of everything we're talking about. So back to our story now, back to a real sugya in terms of Havar Lalaviyot, in terms of Havar Lachalakiyot, that's got us kind of sidetracked after this Yontif saga. Back to Havar Lachalakiyot, Havar Lalaviyot, it was Machlag Zatanoim, that's the bottom line. Is there any real nafgamina ladina, whether Havar Lachalakiyot, whether Havar Lalaviyot, besides the fact with Yechav Skila, that's a pretty big nafgamina for the person who's Machal Shabbos, but I mean for us, tough, it's practical. Is there any real nafkamina for us whether Havar is l'chalak yatzas means it's a full-fledged malacha, or whether Havar l'lav yatzas and it's not a malacha? So the only potential nafkamina would be Yomtif, on Shabbos itself. What's the difference? You can't drive your car whether it's l'chalak or whether it's l'lav. You can't strike your match. You can't turn on your gears whether it's l'chalak or l'lav. So that's not a question. And we pass it unequivocally. It's a malacha gemurah with skila and curry. So for us, it's not relevant. The only possible relevance would be visa yontif. So if you hold that it's a full-fledged malacha, then it's asar on yontif. If you hold it's not a full-fledged malacha, then it's mutar on yontif. But wait a second, what do you mean? If it's a full-fledged malacha and it's asar on yontif, we light fires on yontif. Everybody knows we light a lot of fire on yontif. Mishnah says you're not allowed to strike two stones, rub two stones together. That's an issa d'rabbanan, molad, of a chadash, nolad. Those are different issa. We're not even talking about that. I'm talking about from a pre-existing flame. Everybody knows you're allowed to extend the candle. You're allowed to light. You're allowed to throw logs into your fire on yontif. You're allowed to extend a flame on yontif. So what are we talking about? If you hold that it's the law, then lighting fires on yontif is great. And if you hold it's the chalek, then it's terrible. It's partially not true. It's mutter anyway. So we have to take a little bit of a step back. When we say that it's mutter to light a fire on yontif, again, every time I say light a fire, I don't mean to strike a match. That's it. It's a derabbanan. That's a separate passion. That pattern of lighting a fire in yontif. Why is that so? What's that based on? So there are two fundamentally different ways of explaining what that heter is based on. Why is it that you're allowed to light candles on yontif? Why is it you're allowed to, if your gas is already on and you want to make it a little bit higher to cook the soup a little faster, why is it you're allowed to up the gas a little bit? Why is that permissible? You're lighting a fire in a volatile Shabbos, you can't do that. So one of two answers to that question. So one answer is to say, Havar l'lav yatzas, that there never was a deserve to light a fire. Lighting a fire is not a malacha. It's only a lav. Lavim of Shabbos, not a plenty of it. Sure, that's the easy way out. Probably not the correct way out. The more correct way l'halacha is to explain as follows. In Ochinami, you're not allowed to light fires in yontif. The same way you can't write and the same way you can't cook. The same way you can't do anything in yontif. All malachas are awesome. But the Torah snuck in Parshas Bo. Achashay achal l'chol nefesh. Hu levado yesel l'chem. You are allowed to do things with Yochan Nefesh. So at the end of the day, I'm allowed to carry the bottle of wine. At the end of the day, I'm allowed to cook the soup. At the end of the day, I'm allowed to turn up the gas in order to cook the Yochan Nefesh is mutter. But wait a second, we light fires, even not for Yochan Nefesh. We light fires to read, we light fires to keep warm, we light fires for half a dozen other reasons. That's right. That's the extension of the following principle, Beit Zedafi Beis. Mitol Shehut Ravar L'Tzorech, since the Torah permits lighting fires for food, it also, by extension, permits lighting fires for other purposes as well. So, no matter how you slice it, I'm allowed to raise the fire in order to cook the chicken. I'm allowed to light a candle in order to read on yonder. I'm allowed to throw logs into the fire to heat up the house. Nobody in the world, I should say nobody, but almost nobody in the world says that any of those activities are awesome. But in terms of pure alumnus, we're not sure why exactly they're mutter. Is the heter based on the fact that it was never awesome in the first place? Havar is the lav yatzos. It's not a malacha, never was a malacha. And isuri lav and shlobatos malacha don't spill over the yatzim. That's one approach. Or the other approach is to say, it should have been awesome, but we have a solution. And the solution is Eichon Nefesh. And even more than just Eichon Nefesh plus mitoch extension. So it sounds like we got to the same place. So you're trying to get over the bridge. So you want to take Route 4, you want to take 8095, you want to take the streets. At the end of the day, you get to the same place. So what's the difference? It's mutter, what's the difference? tremendous potential difference. Is there any limitation whatsoever on lighting fires on Yom Tov? If you go down the first route, that lighting a fire in Yom Tov is mutter because it was never also in the first place. If it was never usher, then there's nothing to discuss. There's no shayla. Any and every time you want to light a fire, you don't have to explain to me why you're lighting it. I don't care what your motive is, what your agenda is. I couldn't care less. Lighting fires is mutter. You're allowed to sit in a chair on Yom Tov. You're allowed to eat a piece of cake on Yom Tov. You're allowed to light a fire. It was never usher. Everything's mutter to prove an usher. So prove it's usher. I'm sorry, that doesn't prove anything. That Shabbos not Yom Tov. So we go down that first route. So there's nothing to discuss. Lighting fires is a green light. No matter, there could never, ever be an issue of lighting a fire. We go down the second route. That the starting point is lighting fires are a problem. We have to come up with a heter. The heter is called a nefesh. The extended heter is called bitoich. So then we have to go back to Beitz and Afir Beis and learn the sugyas properly of Beitz and Afir Beis and see. What is Echol Nefesh? What's not Echol Nefesh? What is Bitoch? What's not Bitoch? And we may be in for some surprises that not everything under the sun is going to be covered by those Heterim of Echol Nefesh and Bitoch. So we may have to potentially put the brakes on some fire lightings on Yom Tov. It's not an outright, not a free-for-all to light fires on Yom Tov. We're going to have to learn very, very carefully the sugyas of Echol Nefesh and Bitoch to see, does this particular fire meet the standards of Echol Nefesh and Bitoch? So now it's becoming important for us to Maisa. This is no longer a theoretical question whether we're giving you guys skill or not. There's enough community, can we light fires on Yom Tov? Now, 95% of the time, the answer is yes, no matter which way you go. But it's going to be those 5%, it's going to become critical. So that's from tomorrow. We'll pick up in the next Likud of the Sugi with the Taisus of the Sevens Beitza. With everything I just said to you outside, Taisus makes the observation in about a half a line. So we'll hopefully it should pick this up tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi Shkach.